listening to this episode of Conversations with Authors. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy. In each episode of the Conversations with Authors podcast, I talk to an author about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. Today is Nicola Hebron, author of the Wiccan Romance series. The series follows the adventures of Quads, Amelia, Sam, Ben and Charlie, who, on their 17th birthday, discover they have magical powers. Apologies for the technical gremlins that creep into our conversation from time to time. I hope they won't mar your enjoyment. Hello Nicola, it's so lovely to meet you today.
Hi Alison, it's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You are very welcome. So tell me a bit about your books.
Yes, my books at the moment are the Wiccan Romances series, which there are four books, two are out now, and I based it on a set of magical quadruplets, and I've done a story for each of them. Started off with the only female of the group, Amelia. I started her story, which the initial idea came for me whilst procrastinating a history coursework. It came to me when I was 18, I'm now 30. I published it 2 years ago. It's actually two yesterday, which was very exciting to realise it had been out 2 years.
Happy birthday to work.
Yes, very exciting. I had this idea of, when you first discover you've got magical powers, you know, a little bit like Sabrina the Teenage Witch when she first went to live with her aunts. God, I'm showing my age now. But yes, I just, for whatever reason, the idea of them just finding out they've got magic and sort of the journey they go on, learning their powers, all their mistakes, I wanted those in there. The funny ones, the catastrophes and the things that just don't go right. I wanted that from the beginning. I didn't want them to go in being experienced. I wanted people to learn with them because it wouldn't be a magical story without the magical enemy. I do have one of those. And throughout the four books, they're there battling magically to try and steal my lead character's powers. They're not particularly intense battles because I didn't want the books to have to be particularly dark. They're quite light-hearted books. I wanted people to enjoy reading them. So they're quite lighthearted, they're quite fun. I've really enjoyed writing them. Yeah. I've giggled my way through bits of it.
That's good. If they make you laugh, then they'll make other people laugh, hopefully.
I see it in my head. It's like a movie. And I just write what I see. It's been really fun. And then they've each have a romantic interest in each book, but these things never run smoothly. Also, because they're teenagers, in their late teens. I've also got them doing like all their exams, picking university, going through all the teenage stuff that you have to do. So I've just walloped everything on them and they've got to come through, which I think they do quite well. I really enjoyed when they were looking at universities. I really enjoyed going through all the prospectuses again, like 10 years later. I ordered loads. I ordered more than I did when I went to university. Just to try and get, I wanted it to be real and I wanted like all that stuff that you go through at 17, 18, where, you know, schools are going, you've got to pick this is the rest of your life. I was like, it's a big decision. It's a hard decision. And I did want that to come out. I wanted people to sort of, you know, you have got to think about it, but it's not the be all and end all. You can go and do other stuff. I just wanted it to be real, despite the magic. The magic's almost a secondary storyline. I wanted it to be their love lives, all their personal problems, how they interrelate as a family. I think that's kind of my favourite bit, is the family bit.
It sounds like, so it's teenagers with added magic. And it sounds like good writing as well, if you've been getting the prospectuses so that you're going through that whole kind of experience yourself, method writing.
I do method write a lot. One of my personal favourites, obviously some of it's magical, I was trying to work out a magic ritual. I didn't do it with candles like in the ritual, but I'd literally made a circle with the correct number of candles in socks, and I went and stood in it while I was working out the ritual.
Okay.
It's not the most normal thing, but I needed to see it. But I do things like that. And, you know, when I'm trying to work out gestures, I do them. I really wish I hadn't got rid of, like, my Barbies or something so I could act it out and see it.
No, that's interesting. Yeah, so I guess, yeah, if you're doing something and you're writing about it, it's easier to write about it when you're actually doing it at that moment than trying to remember it or imagine it. So actually doing it gives you a real experience to write about.
It does.
So what inspired you to start writing in the first place?
So I was at the idea when I was a teenager, and I'd written about a couple of thousand words, but then I went to university myself and, you know, it fell by the wayside. And then I was having some trouble at work, and it was really getting in my head. And someone suggested that they said write about whatever was worrying me at the time and try and sort of reason it out. And I was like, no, I actually need to be distracted. So when they said that, the idea popped back into my head. Yeah, so it was a former colleague of mine who just sort of suggested I do some writing. And I don't know, just went from there. I used to go home every evening and sort of, you know, pop the TV on with the background noise, and laptop went up, and that was that. And for sort of an hour and a half every evening, I would do my writing.
So when it comes to writing a book, are you a meticulous planner, or does it just come straight from your head to paper, or do you have a sort of...
No, I'm a meticulous planner. I'll be honest, okay. I'm not only a meticulous planner, I rough out my plans and then I write them up in a notebook so they're neater. So I can actually, because otherwise it's sort of, you've wrote a sentence, you write a couple of other sentences, you're going, oh no, I want that idea up there. And you sort of say, I neaten up my plans, and I call it a book Bible, but it has like the character profiles, the chapter outlines, all those things that you actually need to remember. So it's very helpful. So I do plan everything. I've got a new series that I'm trying to write at the minute. And I decided, because I wanted it's a romantic suspense / crime thriller, moving away from the paranormal for a bit. I wanted my murderous scenes to be a bit chaotic, because obviously if you're a murderer, you're not exactly well thought out. So I'm doing those scenes unplanned. And I have to admit, it's much harder than I thought it would be.
Okay, just free writing is harder than when you know what you're trying to say. So it sounds like you plan your plans almost.
Yes, I do. I think because it's just easier that way, and that way I don't really suffer with bad writer's block. But with the plans, I can almost, you don't write for a few days rather than I've got friends where they like don't write for months because they're so blocked. I'm like, that just doesn't happen, which I'm pleased about, because, you know, it keeps me busy.
Yeah. So when it comes to writing, do you set aside writing time, or do you have a sort of timetable, or how do you actually go about getting the words down on paper?
I don't have specific writing times. At the moment, I'm not in work, so I have an endless amount of free time. So I sort of go more where, you know, you've got that bit of inspiration or motivation and you go, okay, cool, and I can tap out a couple of thousand words and be really pleased with it. But I found, particularly when I was more structured, when I was working, I'd get to the laptop and I'd be like, right, I need to write, and I'd be like, nah, not now. Whereas whilst I don't enjoy not working, it has worked better for the writing, because I can do it as and when I feel the urge, for lack of a better word.
Right. So, yeah. So you do need to be in a kind of writing mood.
I do. And I find, I don't know why this is, I am a big England cricket fan, a huge England cricket fan. And I do my best writing while I'm watching England cricket.
Oh, how interesting.
I don't know why it is. I get the most inspiration when I'm watching England cricket. I can't tell you a reason for that, but I will. I get, if I'm sat watching a cricket, more than likely I've got either some paper and a pen or my laptop and I'm doing something.
There must be something about the cricket that just clicks your brain into the right kind of mode for writing. That's really interesting.
It is. But yeah, I noticed it's very strange. Not to say it's not, but I do more of my writing when I'm watching the cricket than when I'm not. But it's not to say I don't write when there's not cricket on. I'm known to write for like a couple of hours when there's cricket on, whereas it might be like an hour here and there when it's not. So yeah, big shout out to England cricket team for making
And does it make a difference whether they're winning or losing to how you well?
Not particularly. Makes more of a distance. Obviously, you do batting and bowling. If they're bowling, I'm more likely to be writing than if they're batting. But yeah, there's not a huge amount of difference. But yes, that is that's about the only pattern I've really noticed, is that if I come and watch the cricket, I will write.
That's really interesting. That's really interesting. So you've got two books out at the moment.
Yes.
How did you get those published?
I was researching publishing houses originally. I mean, obviously, a lot of people, you think the traditional route first. You don't automatically go down the self-publishing route. And I'll be honest, until I did any research, I didn't know self-publishing was out there. And when I was looking at it, I stumbled across KKP, the Amazon Publishing Service. And I sort of went, hang on a sec, you know, I'd get full control. No one can tell you to change the story. Because what I always worried is, because I prefer my books lighthearted, I'd worry that everyone would be like, no, they need to be a lot darker, because that's the fashion at the moment. So when I stumbled across KGP, I did actually stop my search for a publisher and I decided to go that route.
Okay, yeah.
That's how I got into self-publishing. It was accidental research hole that you fall in, as you do when you're doing research. But yeah, I was all set to try and go down the traditional route, but I'm quite glad I didn't, actually. I think there's a lot to be said for having the control over your own work, because at the end of the day, it's your story. You wanted to, you know, it's a story when I was about 16, 17, same age as the characters. It's the story I wanted to read, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that old saying, write the book you want to read. That's very true. I don't like all the dark elements of all the fantasy books at the minute. I much prefer the fact that mine don't have that.
I really, what you just said then, write the book you want to read. I always think that is fantastic, actually. When I've written a book about raising a child with ADHD, and it came about because when my son was first diagnosed, I kind of read everything I could find, but there was nothing that actually spoke to me. I wanted something written by a mum in the UK, and it was all American parents, or it was all doctors, and it wasn't anything that kind of was my experience. Then 10 years later, when I decided to write a book, I thought, you know what? I'm going to write the book. Yeah, I'm going to write the book that I would have wanted to read 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really useful, write the book you want to read. It's a really useful tip, I think.
Yes, it's one of the ones I genuinely stand by as well. It's all well and good, but if you all write the books that you're reading, they're all going to be the same. You know, when Twilight first came out, there was 1,000 vampire books because Twilight was vampires. You know, I there's something to be said for it being yours and it being a bit different. Not that I have anything against vampires. Obviously, I am quite the fan of the supernatural and the paranormal. Just I wanted it to be... I loved Harry Potter as a kid. I'm not going to lie. I grew up reading the Harry Potter books. And I just loved the fact that, you know, it was a boy with magic. You know, he wasn't a werewolf or a vampire. He just had these powers. And I just wanted mine, you know, it reflected what I've experienced, you know, Harry Potter, Charmed, Sabrina, all those things are what I saw, and I then made it my own, I suppose, with a lot of additional help.
that's really good to hear. So what have you learned about yourself through writing your books?
I've learned a few things. First off is I'm really determined.
That's not a bad thing to learn.
No, but I suppose, you know, if you weren't determined, you wouldn't sit and write a book. It's a lot of effort. And it sucks a lot out of you, I'm not going to lie. If I've gone for like a really long writing session, I get out of it and I'm like, God, I'm exhausted. My own head.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned I'm really determined and that I'm, you know, I will see things through to the end, which I think was something I needed to learn about myself.
Yeah, it's a lot of effort to write one book, and you've done two. So obviously the effort of writing one didn't put you off going on to do another one.
I've had like some ups and downs in my career. And I think just being determined just shows me that, you know, this isn't the end, this prolonged period of work I'm having due to a pain condition. It's not like I've wanted to come off work. I've been forced by my own body. But that's just why I'm off work. It's not that I wanted to be unemployed. I just am. Just being able to see that has really, you know, sparked something in me. I also learned that I'm very imaginative, you know, which is a good thing as a writer.
Yeah.
You know, a strong imagination is kind of the main job requirement.
I guess so. When you're writing about teenagers who do magic, then having an imagination is going to be quite important to do that.
Yes. Yes. So, yes. No, I just suppose, yeah, I'm determined. I'm imaginative. I suppose also I'm really stubborn.
Stubborn.
Yes, I'm flexible in some things. In 90% of stuff, I'm flexible. When it comes to my books, I'm so protective and stubborn about it being what I saw. Stubborn's probably not the right word. It's that I'd stand up for, you know, what I believe in. It just comes across stubborn sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's your book, isn't it? And you it has to represent what you want it to represent because it's yours, not anyone else's.
Yeah. I mean, I've been lucky. I've got a friend of a friend who has gone down the public traditional route, and all credit to her for getting the contract, but the amount of changes they're making her make is just unreal.
Right.
So
it's not really her book at the end of the day.
No, and you know, she's a fabulous writer. Just, yeah, I think I'd stand up for the books. I'd stand up for how they are now.
Yeah.
Something else is that, you know, where I'm a doormat in other things, I probably wouldn't be in this case.
Sounds like a good thing to have learned about yourself, yeah? That you have the determination to do it, you have the imagination to do it, but also that you will stand up for your books and you'll stand up for what you believe in when it comes to your books.
Yeah, I think that those are like the three key things that I learned about myself. And like, they're positive lessons, because I could have gone down a very dark route over the last couple of years, and they have kept me going quite a lot, so I'm always very thankful to them for that.
That's really good to hear. Books is therapy. Writing is therapy.
It is, but you know, I'm also, you know, I am an avid reader, so I know, and I know the books as a kid, they were my lifeline, so I know their importance. I'm not
Me too. Yeah, I lose myself in books. So over this pandemic, I've just lost myself in the world of contemporary fiction and gritty crime. That's been my for the last year.
Yeah, it has. That's just everyone's world at the minute, though, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. So has anything happened? Has anything interesting or surprising happened as a result of you becoming an author?
Not particularly. I think the unfortunate thing of being primarily released during the pandemic has meant that sort of all the stuff, like I was going to go do an author festival last year in the summer, and all the things that were sort of going to challenge me have sort of fallen by the wayside, I guess.
Yeah.
But I suppose the amount of friends I've got, that's been something that I've been really surprised at. People on social media and how friendly and welcoming they are is just really wonderful. A set of introverts, basically, who don't really want to talk to anyone. Otherwise, we'd be out in the world not writing. And they're all so welcoming. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things, is I've got all these friendships. And, you know, they are friendships. They're not, you know, just random online messages. They're people I talk to every day. You know, they're like work friends, I suppose. You know, those people you see every day when you're at work and you become really close to because you talk to them every day. So I think that's one of the big things that I've got out of it, is I've got new friends who have different but similar interests.
And, you know, we're all different stages of our lives. We've all got different things going on. But at the same time, you need a bit of advice. You know, you need to check a sentence makes sense. You type it in the chat and you get 10 opinions.
Yeah. So talking of advice, what advice would you give other people who are thinking about becoming authors, who are thinking about writing a book?
Obviously, write the book you want to read. That's my big one. But the other one is actually sit and write. Everyone says, oh, I want to write a book. You know, you hear hundreds of people say it on a daily basis. Actually, sit at your computer and write it. You know, or get a pad. I don't actually care how you write it. You know, get a quill and ink if you must.
Hard work. That sounds like very hard work.
It does, but I just think there's not enough said for just sitting down and writing. There's all those things like motivational posts, you know, you can edit a bad page, but you can't edit a blank page. I mean, that's how it's just very badly paraphrased, but that's basically the gist of it. And I think that's the big thing, is you have to sit down and write.
Just get on and do it. Your book won't get written until you start writing it. So
yeah, because, you know, I mean, I'm the queen of this. I'm not, or I was when I was, particularly when I was at school, I was the queen of talking up my homework. My homework would not be done, but I could tell you about how I was going to do it, you know. And I think you do just need to sit down, put everything else out of your mind, put music on, put the telly on, you know, sit in dead silence in a soundproof room.
Put the cricket on.
I just don't think there's enough said for actually sitting and doing it. You can talk it up as much as you like, but unless it's actually in your hand, you can say I've done it, doesn't mean anything. So yeah, those are my two big things.
So write the book you want to read and just get on and write that book.
Exactly. Those are two things. If someone said to me, I want to write a book, I'd be like, okay, cool, you know.
So what's next for you? You said at the beginning that these are, you've got the first two, you've published the first two books out of a series of four, is that right?
Yes. Amelia's story and Sam's story are out now. All four books are written now. I finished the fourth one at the end of last year. I finished it in early December. My mum edits a lot of stuff for her work, so I've used my mum as my editor, mm-hmm. partly because she's free.
Fair enough.
With my new stuff, I am actually going to pay for an editor. I suppose I'm really proud of these books because they were sort of my first effort and I really tried with them. But now I want to succeed with the next set. So that's where I've started saving up for that now.
Okay.
The third one is with my mum. She's about halfway through her round of edits. And the fourth one is on my desk, looking at me funny.
I like that. Do something with me. Do something with me.
Yeah. So I, to be fair, I have started. Just it's literally the first read through, and it's really not good. Been really hard going trying to read through it, and
oh gosh,
I know it needs a lot of work. So. But I just find it really hard to read it. So I'm having to do it in really small steps. So, hopefully the third one will be released later this year, with the aim for the fourth one to go out some point next year.
That's brilliant. So where can people find you online if they want to find out more about you and your books?
So I have my own website, which is nicolahebronauthor.com. Which offers character profiles, actually let you read the first chapter of each book for free. You can download the first chapter, because I thought, you know, why not try and entice you? But you can also buy the books directly from me there. But they're also, obviously, I went down the KDP route first, so they are available on Amazon. And I also believe, I did check a while ago, that they are available on like Waterstones and WH Smiths for UK people, and like Barnes and Noble, Walmart, and Target for American friends.
So you can get them in a few places. Yeah.
Yes, they're very widely available because I wanted them to be sort of as accessible as possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
They are slightly cheaper if you buy direct from me, just because obviously I don't have to put, you don't have to factor in all of Amazon's cut or all the other people's cuts. So they are slightly cheaper from me. So that is always a benefit of buying directly from me. I will also sign them if you ask me to.
That's a benefit, isn't it? A signed copy. So yeah, so it's nicolahebronauthor.com.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to get a signed copy of any of either of Nicola's books, go to nicolahebronauthor.com. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today, Nicola. I wish you all the best with the two books that are out now and the two that are going to be out in the next sort of over the next couple of years. And yeah, and good luck with anything else that comes along in the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having me today. It's been loads of fun.
It's been great. Thank you to Nicola for being my guest on the podcast today. The first two of Nicola's books, Sam's Story and Amelia's Story, are available now from all good booksellers, and you can find out more about the series and download free samples from her website, nicolahebronauthor.com. That's Nicola with a C and Hebron spelt H-E-B-R-O-N. You can find out more about me and the services I offer authors on my website, www.theproofairy.com. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with info on how you could be a guest on the show. If you like this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and review it. This has been a Proof Fairy production in collaboration with my dogs, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author.